Yes.
Is anyone here?
What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Good Friday evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, everybody. My name is Eugene Tay, and you are watching four good-looking, hunky men tonight on Friday Night Live, your date time with us. To introduce my team, today's a few different faces, but if you have been watching on the fringe, you would know these two very, very well. Right below me, in the place where Kim usually is sitting, today we have Bill.
Hello.
Hello.
Bill looking like a 70s hippie with his headband and him and his beer. What are you drinking today, hippie Bill?
I'm drinking Heineken. I'm drinking for the first time. I managed to find $10 in the budget to buy some beer.
So a bump up from your anchor.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So ladies and gentlemen, they didn't have anchor in that shop. That was weird.
They got no taste, man. Anchor is pretty. Anchor, for what people are laughing about anchor, that it being an upbeat drink, I think anchor tastes good. I like anchor.
Dude, it's not an upbeat drink. It's just a drink to get you hammered.
Don't upbeat, okay? Yeah.
If you go down enough and it has the alcohol content, it is good.
But if you go to Thailand, they don't call it Anchor. They call it Ancho. Because there's another brand of beer in Thailand, A-N-K-E-R. That's Anchor. So if you say Anchor in Thailand, they'll give you that version.
Is it a better version or is it a worse version?
I don't know. I tend to drink Anchor all the time as well. So, Anchor, if you're listening,
Yes,
Anchor. Anyway, if you guys are wondering where is Kim, Kim is still very much a part of our Friday Night Live. It's just that last week and this week, he has been working. And Friday night is usually the peak period for Kim. He has to run his shows and host events. So, I think he is on stage right now somewhere in Malaysia, earning his keep. Right. So he's still very much a part of Friday Night Live and the team. Also, replacing that spot right there,
the empty space
is Matt Verkeg.
Hi guys, what's up? I didn't hint that we're coming on today, but yeah, it's good to be on again. Friday night, first time for Bill.
Today's I learned night. A couple hours ago.
Yeah. I dig it. It's my fault because without Kim helping me out with the production and all that, so a lot of things get done last minute. And today in the afternoon I got all my production notes done, everything settled, and like, man, I realized I forgot to reply you. Are you up tonight? And I was like, yeah, let's get Bill in too. So yeah, Bill and Matt is on here today.
I mean, it's a Friday night after a long week. It's time to drink, hear some ghost stories, chill out. It's good time.
That's what we do, man. No politicking. We don't give a shit about anything else in the world. Friday night is Hantu night. We want to hear ghost stories.
Yeah, let's go.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking Kirin beer tonight.
That's my other half. Kirin.
Kirin, yes. We have Heineken. We love Kirin. Again, if you guys are wondering where that woman from Zimbabwang is, she is right now somewhere in God knows Jakarta, I think stuck in a jam or something. Jakarta jam legendary, isn't it? When you tell me Jakarta, first thing I think of is not Hantu, I think of traffic jam.
You know, I'd love to have a look at Sonia's passport.
Must
be the most battered and stamped thing, yeah.
We all like renew passport every like 2-3 years, she renews every 6 months.
I mean,
has to be like that.
Like, I went on one trip, I thought that was, I was like, oh shit, look at me, Mr. Worldwide. Fucking Sonia's got me covered by like times four.
Hashtag, where in the world is Sonia Kurana? Make your guess, no prizes there. Sometimes we lose count as well, the number of places she's going to go. And of course, the man who has been holding everything together, like jam on bread, come on lips. This is the man from down under.
Come on, lips.
You mean you can see it from here?
Oh, but shit.
I thought I brushed my teeth, bro.
Far oh, Kim's out. There already?
Yeah. Yeah. Already? He's always been here.
Yeah. It's not a game if you call each other bro. That's right. Bromo right there.
Bromo. 2023.
Bromo. Apex Predator. JDC. Joseph Dakota. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for not introducing me like a World Wrestling Federation wrestler. I, you know, speaking of which, right, I remember once you indirectly called me fat. Can you fucking remember, right, when the first time you said, oh, this guy's coming down, he looks like this wrestler?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. No, is this Stone Cold Steve Austin or someone else? And then I went to research him. He was a fat fuck.
Oh, now he's fat, but back then in the prime, Stone Cold is the rattlesnake. He's like the badass motherfucker.
Stone Cold wasn't fat. He's not fat.
I mean, now he drinks so much beer.
I mean, it doesn't matter that I am as well. But
yeah, that's because he's just like a retired Stone Cold.
That's right. One too many Sapporo beers. That's the problem.
My God, Sapporo beers. We should get sponsorship from beers, man. I swear. We have Kirin, we have Heineken, we have Sapporo, and we're not getting a cent from any of these damn companies.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh my God.
I mean, I'm willing to wear like an anchor headband. It's fine.
Yes, actually, that'd be cool.
I want to get sponsored by like a skincare company. Like, I want to smell like patchouli, Lang Lang, and geranium. That's what I want to smell like when I do my Supernatural Confessions.
Do you think we can get sponsored by Dollar Shave Club? Because we have
I want it like something like Lush. You know, like that things that sell bath bombs. And you know, okay, I don't know you guys that, you know the soaps that these guys make? Have you seen the soaps that some of these like these bespoke companies make it? The soap looks like you can even eat it. And it smells so good. And when you wash your body with it, you just, it feels so nice.
You know, I got a perfect advertisement for you if one of these bath companies, like Bath and Body Works, come up to sponsor us. We have, you know, JDC walking in, just right out of the gym, open up the door, boom! Then he goes out there. JDC, Alpha, Apex Predator, for the hard day's work, what you need is to pamper yourself. Then the music changed. He puts a bath ball in the bathtub. Bro, he comes down in slow-mos and he wipes himself, towel himself down.
That's like an Old Spice commercial.
I work in, you know, some of the most horrid places in the world. When I come back, I just want to pamper myself. I want to smell like a candy shop.
You know what? Next week for the show, you should bring on like your just your soap. You just pull out your soap from your shower. Let everybody see what you're using now.
You just want me to drop the soap online, don't you? Hey, Matt. Nope, you just want me to do that online. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I got you. I'll drop it.
For me, myself, I'm drinking not beer today. I'm drinking Hendrix. Speaking of all the flowery and nice smell, this one smells really good. Mid-summer solstice.
Limited edition.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's time to say hello to the people on YouTube and Facebook. Boys, would you do the honors, please, and say hello to the names that you can read out?
Right. I have Carlos Cole here, Maitreya Om, Zihao Po, Carlos Cole again. Carlos Cole is just posting like just every single wonderful Maitreya as well. So we've got Desmond, Jillian Fernandez, Ivan Go, Sarah Pei, Hua Shooting Ariel. Is it shooting? Is it like shooting or shirting?
Shirting.
Shirt. I think it's shirting. Huang Shirting.
Is it like shutting? Like S-H-U-T-N-G? Like
You see, I don't know. It's such a multicultural place. I don't know which intonation to kind of use. And also, tuning in, we have Supernatural Confessions. No, that's us. Sean Chen. I haven't even drunk like half the cup yet. Like, this is going to go. I want to leave it to one of you guys to go and read the rest out.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, on YouTube, we have so many people that we actually see on Wednesdays as well. We have the clerk. We have Elaine. I actually want to shout out one person. It's 1617. He says he uses Fiji body wash from Old Spice. Oh. I'm assuming that's what I use right now, and I dig it. It's fucking good. Who else we have? We have KK Hing. We have a lot of people. Shah, some new names. Frankie, nice to see you again on a Friday instead of a Wednesday. Yeah, we have a lot of people today, but it's going to be a good show.
Yeah. It's going to be a different kind of show because, you know, every time we have a different host, the dynamics really change. And it's we are unscripted. And this whole thing, you're watching us live, the mistakes we made, the jokes we made, it's all live and unscripted. Sometimes we surprise ourselves and we do laugh along with you guys. So I think that's why it's really special, the Friday Night Live. And for as long as we can, we will keep it running. We know you love it. We love it. We don't consider this a job. We enjoy Friday Night Live. As you can see, we are very committed to running this. So if you are keen on supporting us in any way at all, not that you are obliged to, because your presence here is really good enough, we do have a link called buymeacoffee.com/...
ST Friday Live.
Thank you.
So www.buymeacoffee.com/ST Friday Live. If you guys would like to buy us a coffee to support us, please do so. And if you can't, don't want to, you know, you've got school fees to pay tomorrow, you've got to go and pay off your sugar mama, whatever. You know, the fact that you guys are here listening to us, as I say this every week, is support enough for us.
Yeah. I'm gonna put the link in the comment section. So.
I saw the pause. It was like, is it the switch just turned on? Like,
yeah.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Can I just interrupt you guys for a bit? Like, so there's somebody on Facebook here called Mr. Ivan Go, and it is his first Friday Night Live, apparently.
What?
Ivan Go.
Bruh. Yeah.
No,
Bill. Yeah, I'm a new guy. I mean, you should give him a shout out,
bro. Ivan's been here so long. He's on our show, dude. He comes on Wednesdays. Do you not see his name all the time?
Ivan Go comes on Tuesday. Yeah. Ghost Mortem as well. Ivan attends more live shows than you guys collectively do.
Yeah, that's true.
Basically, you got to read the fine print. He goes, "This is the first time I've been here for this show this week." So technically,
you see,
right.
I never read anything like beyond the first line. It's just like, okay, cool.
you know, Ariel is our, we call her the mermaid because she's Ariel, right? Little mermaid. And I want to bring the attention to Maitreya Om as well. I was scrolling through my Facebook and I saw the word merman. The last time I saw the word merman was on Zoolander.
Oh, no, nice.
I was afraid where this was going.
I'm a merman. Merman. And he got he has this like so silky, sleeky, tight thing, and he has a merman costume.
So does Bill.
What?
What?
I'm just kidding.
What?
Why are you bringing the furries into this again, Max?
Oh, Bill's getting haunted by the furries everywhere.
Everywhere he goes, man. Everywhere. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. If you are here for the very first time, please do drop in a comment and say that you're first time here. We want to give you a big warm welcome. And I think the community itself is very supportive of everyone who wants to join in, share ghost stories. Do take part. Tell us your stories. Be free to comment whatever you want to comment as well. Chat with the other members. If you've got a story to share, supernaturalconfessions.com is the URL that you need to remember. From there, you can contact me on WhatsApp. You can come on the show, have me interview you, or give me your text, give me a voice text, anything to make life easier for you to just get in touch with us to tell us your story. Today, we have a very special guest who'll be joining us at 11 o'clock. His name is Thomas Cheng, and he was actually featured as one of our confessor not too long ago in the last few weeks, and I think his video hit like 50K in 2 weeks. He was talking about ghost marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And today's trending topic that has been buzzing up, hitting up our Facebook group, is about a man who found an ang pao with lots of money inside. And typical of Supernatural Confessions community, instead of going, "Wow, you lucked out, bro, you got so much money," he's like, "Bro, you habis lah, you pick up an ang pao with money, confirm must be the hantu." There's a ghost marriage thing. It's a ghost marriage. So for those of you who do not understand the correlation between finding ang pao and ghost marriages and your quite clueless as to what's going on, stay tuned, because 11 o'clock we will be talking about ghost marriages.
Okay.
Nice. Yes.
So and what happens if you find $50 on the ground, Eugene, as you're walking home from lunch at work?
That's a very good question. I was always brought up by my grandmother and my mom from the Peranakan side of the Pantang family, where you don't pick up anything on the ground, because it is believed that people put a curse on the money, drop it on the ground for you to pick up, and the curse passes on to you.
What happens if you pick it up and then go to the pub with your mates and buy a round of drinks and food with that? That alcohol, because it's alcohol, right? They use it to rub germs off people's body. So does that mean it just like nullifies the curse? Especially if you have prawn toast and chips and four pints.
Maybe a shepherd's pie.
You're doing your mental calculation of what $50 can get you already, isn't it?
No, just what happened last week. This is what happened to me on Friday last week.
Oh, you picked up money.
Yeah, I dropped it off in the text. Remember, it was a $50 note. It was just in the pavement. People were walking by. I was like, the fuck is $50 there? So I picked it up. I did the right thing. I ran around the corner to see if anyone maybe dropped it, and I had it ready in my hand. So you see, I wasn't worried about the ghost. I was worried about like COVID and monkeypox. So I isolated it in one hand and make sure when I went back to the office, I like washed it with soap. So there you go. That's another cleansing. And then I told Kim, and obviously what Kim goes, oh my God, bro, you're now married to someone. I go, bro, no, I'm not involved in a ghost marriage. I do not give my consent. Consent's very important, people. I did not give my consent. So amen. I took it. And I went to donate it to someone. The donation just happened to be the pub where someone worked. Because no, hear me out, right? Because look at that. Like, I can give it to someone on the street, right? Yes, that's correct. But you know, I'm unsure of what he's going to use that money for, right? And sometimes there's a lot of other issues. So I decided to give it to a legit business who was employing people who needed a job in order to support themselves.
Exactly.
And it was just an exchange.
You got to support local businesses, you know?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Keep them alive.
Support local. Yeah.
I like what M. Fires has said on YouTube comment section. I'm going to go with this one. This will now be the new rumor that we're going to spread. JDC has a second wife now.
Well, no. That's not happening. Come on. All right. I live with a black woman. She's not going to take it well hearing I've got a second wife, all right? If you guys don't want me to turn up next week, you can spread the rumor. Right?
Only next week, yes, me forever.
Baby, what did I hear about you having a second wife?
Because I also picked up a couple weeks ago, actually, like about like 2.5 weeks ago, I picked up a $50 note in front of a empty parking lot.
Dude, that's probably why this shit's been happening in your house.
Holy moly, that's correct.
Ah, now we know. That's why I like your house haunted, Bill. Pick up
Okay, I don't know if anybody who was here last week knows, but after our show, I think it was 2 weeks ago on The Fringe on Wednesday night, like we were just debriefing and talking about stuff that we want to do for the show. And then shit just started happening. Like I legit heard a bell on Bill's end. It was right next to the mic. He couldn't hear a single thing. And then immediately after that, my computer, the volume just started going up and down. I wasn't touching anything. Yeah. Then the next day, some shit was dropping out in Bill's bathroom.
Dropping out in Bill's bathroom? That sounds
about not from his anus, normal, but like from the wall.
But like like a whole shelf came down in the bathroom while I wasn't inside it. And
married to the bride of Slanesh. That's who you're married to, right?
Dude,
now,
and it's
Bill.
Fine because you know you're single, right? So you know, you've got a wife.
I mean, like, if a ghost sugar mama is like, you know, married to me and is gonna give me cash periodically, like, I'm good.
Hey, you know, if you guys have watched the confession from Thomas Cheung and talking about ghost bride, it's actually not that bad having a ghost bride.
Yeah, I mean,
all things considered, it's a good deal.
Dude, you don't have to do laundry. You don't have to keep your house clean. They ain't gonna nag you if you don't wash your dishes.
No headaches. No, she was.
I mean, happy to service if my ghost wife just gets rid of the dishes by throwing them out the window, that's fine as well.
Oh, see, yeah, dude, it could, if it like breaks, you don't have to clean it. If my wife ever watches this, I love you. You don't need me.
Breaks your favorite mug. It's like, whoops.
So today's theme is going to be about ghosts in the house. So home is where the hantu is what I term today's show. Nice. I'm going to share with you some ghost stories, confessions from, narrated confessions, and also stories that I've heard from people telling me what happened in their house. In fact, it seems this seventh month has been very active for a lot of people.
Oh, what happened?
So one of the story I've got from this confessor, I went down to his place over at Tagore Lane.
Tagore Lane.
Yeah. I live in Pasir Ris, by the way. So that's Tagore Lane. And he was saying that his father-in-law, who he's seen for almost 9 years through dating his daughter. So every Friday, they would go to his house and they would have dinner and then they would watch TV and go home. But what's funny about this is a very traditional man who you do not speak at dinner table. You keep quiet. Shh. So he'll keep quiet anyway. Then after dinner, it's tradition for the whole family to get away from the dinner table and go to the living room. And he thought, okay, you know, trying to chummy up to the father and try to speak to him, and he'll go, shh, watch the evening news. So after dinner, quiet, watch evening news, quiet. By the time it's about 10 o'clock already, and then he retired for the night, and this confessor will go home. So for 9 years, he did the same thing. Go to dinner table, try to talk, shh, sit down in front of the living room, try to watch the news, and try to make conversation. So 9 years later, they got married and everything, and he passed away, right? And during the 7 days, the 7 days block, and he was sitting outside in the living room, and the wife just says, "Hey, why don't you pour a beer for daddy?" You know, just like. So he said, why all of a sudden? He says, "I don't know, I just feel his presence around." So open a beer, put it there. He was watching TV, his big ass projector on the wall, 3 meters by I don't know how many meters. And he sort of like dozed off for a bit. Then he felt someone staring at him. And he woke up and he like rubbed his eyes and stare in front. He saw a black outline, like a shadow, a solid shadow in front of him. And he said, he rubbed his eyes, he double checked. And look at the black figure, because if there's a projector, if someone stand in front of the projector, that object in front would have the image. You will see the image on him. But this one is a black solid shadow that sort of absorbs light into it, so you don't see anything out of it. And so I asked him what happened. I said, did he talk to you, or did you talk to spirit? And I was half expecting him to say, you know, ask questions about the father-in-law, and the father-in-law will go, shh, you know. But turns out, you know, he just covered himself in a blanket and wished that thing to go away. So his experience was the spirit of the father was lingering around for 7 days and visiting him each night, but he never once made any conversation. The other lady that I spoke to in Ang Mo Kio, Avenue 4, by the way, it's a very, very scary place. Ang Mo Kio Avenue 4, the vibe there is, in my opinion, very, very dirty. And when I asked about it, that particular block that I was under has two suicide cases. One from the window, kitchen window, one from the corridor. There's a lot of injury, and it seems that people play black magic and they leave things lying around. One of the conversations I had with her, she says, in her house, even the ones that she's staying right now, things would tend to go missing. Money will go missing. They can hear children giggle. So they know they didn't bring anything home because they are a staunch Hindu family. But she hypothesized that the neighbors could be playing with Toyo, going around stealing money. So one of the Hantu home story that she talked about, which I felt was rather creepy, was for 20 years, from the age of 7 to 27, she kept feeling that there was this man every night beside her bed crying. And she talked to the mother. The mother said, Don't talk rubbish, lah. Just go and sleep. No such thing as ghost. For 20 years. As it turns out, later on, she discovered her mom actually has the gift of the third eye. And her mom can see the ghost. And she felt there was this man crying. So as she grew older, her senses tuned up a little bit more. And she could sense a lot of things. And she one day she told her mom, I can see a man standing there by my bed or sitting beside my bed calling me to go to him. I'm scared. Oh. The mom said, let me talk to him. The mom did something, right? She didn't tell me what it was. Apparently, the mom negotiated something on her behalf and he left. So when she checked with the mom, what was that entity? It turns out that that entity, the crying man by the bed, was actually her ex-husband in the previous life.
Whoa, right.
She died in the previous life and he wanted her. And even in this life, when she reincarnated to this new person, his spirit couldn't let go. His spirit is still pining for her and calling for her.
Oh.
So, that's two stories back to back that I got just over the last couple of days.
What would have happened if she actually like went with the man?
Good question.
We all believe that she would not have woken up from her sleep.
Yeah, we wouldn't have a confession today.
Yeah.
But the first one actually sounds like the classic depiction of a shadow person, where, you know, like if you look all the literature on like, you know, the paranormal encounters, especially when it comes to shadow people, they're often described as this black mass that is blacker than black, blacker than the night itself, right? So, and often they're not associated with ghosts, rather that this thing is an entity by itself, not something that has ever had like human birth. So not quite a demon, but not a ghost either. That in between, right?
Yeah.
So I find it a bit suspicious that the guy felt like he needed to basically cover himself in fear and basically hope to go away. Because I don't know, like generally speaking, I would assume that like out of all the hauntings you could have, like a familial haunting is probably like the most, like one of the more benign cases where like you wouldn't feel that much like animosity or fear. But he was quite obviously scared.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I guess anybody who suddenly sees a shadow in the middle of the night in your room is probably like, what in the fuck is that?
Yeah, but it's I would too. It's kind of like if it was somebody you knew and you had a bond with, if you just saw the silhouette and you just saw the shadow, you'd kind of recognize it was them and you'd feel like a sense of ease, right?
Yeah. That is true. I mean, didn't think about it that way.
I have a similar experience with my grandfather. Love my grandfather to bits. 7 days, his slippers start moving. Obviously, I didn't see it move in my eyes, but when we settled the slipper and his clothes on the chair, we put his clothes on the chair, like really freaky. Shirt on the chair, pants on the seat, and then slipper in front of it beside his altar. The morning when we wake up, the slipper would have moved. And you would think that, yeah, that's my grandfather, right? But still, the idea of the dead coming back is still spooky.
Yeah.
Like if my grandfather come up to me in my bed and like, hi, grandson. Ah! I'm not going to go, hey, hi, grandpa.
Hey, how you doing? How's the afterlife? Yeah. You doing good?
Yeah.
I mean, the R would be the first thing. But then after that, it would be like, oh.
Got 40.
I mean... Yeah. I mean, even in the Bible,
it can help me.
Even in the Bible, the disciples were afraid of Jesus when he suddenly appeared in front of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that was only at first.
I mean,
first. JDC, do you have a hantu story about home?
Not one that I've. Okay, maybe I'm wondering if it's one that I've actually experienced. So I'll give two stories. Right, one that's happened to my dad here in Perth. He'd basically woken up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get ready for work because he works as a nurse. And so he's making, you know, he likes to actually work and do this stuff in the morning in the dark. I don't know, he's just a weird person. So he's in the kitchen preparing his stuff, right? And he saw movement on the right side of his eye and he turned and he saw my mother walk from near where my room area was, like where the toilets are, and walk past him and go towards the bedroom. And no, actually, it was the other way around. He saw my mom come out of the bedroom, I think, head towards that area, and he was going, what's she doing there? And my mom is sometimes prone to sleepwalking. So I think he went to try to, you know, see if she, you know, try to wake her up and to ensure that she didn't hit herself. And when he went to where she was not there. Went back to the bedroom, she's fast asleep. So this has happened several times before, apparently.
Classic.
Yeah. And another one happened, same, my mom and dad's house when I was living there. And I was just brushing my teeth and, you know, admiring myself in the mirror like I always do with my nightly routine. After my bath bomb. Yeah, exactly. After my bath bomb and my skin feels great. And
your Yankee candles. I'm smelling
patchouli, Lang Lang, and geraniums. I was brushing my teeth, right? I saw a corner something moving out of the corner of my eye. And when I turned, have you guys seen, you guys know Star Trek, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know when they beam someone up, you got that scintillating lights and the lights is kind of like, just like sparkle and the person disappears.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I saw that light, something very similar to that, just sparkle across the wall and just disappear down the corridor. Until today, I don't know if I hallucinated or actually saw that thing or if that was the lights, because there's a window on the left-hand side of that kind of like that wall. And sometimes when cars pass through, the lights can actually come through there. I don't know. It had a very different quality to any kind of light that I've ever seen there, which is the only reason why, for me, I feel that was a little bit out of the ordinary. I've not seen light there like that before. And I lived there all the way from 1992 to like 2006. So it's been a long time. I know that house. I know how the house works.
Yeah.
So no more bath bombs for me after that night.
Charles Ho said something to you, Joe.
Okay,
he has a message for you.
Thank you, Charles. Says, go ahead.
You're gorgeous, Joe.
Thank you, Charles. I keep saying that to myself, and maybe one day I'll believe it because of my low self-esteem. No.
I actually saw another comment. I fucking loved it. It was by, I guess it's Rai. It says, JDC needs a Victoria's Secrets membership.
Yeah. I'm a lifetime member. No, I'm not.
Well, I got one more hantu story to tell you later on. This is the one that I personally investigated in Johor Bahru. And I actually talked about this confession last year during Halloween for a very special segment with NLB. But I don't think many of you have heard it. I did not post it on Supernatural Confessions. But if NLB. Time permits, I might tell you that later. But for now, let us go to our very first confession for tonight. This one is... Oh, it's called Side of the Bed, confession by me and narrated by one of my favorite SC narrator, Gina. Take it away.
Isn't it Gina?
Same.
Gina.
Side of the Bed by May. To start this off, I'd like to say I don't live in a creepy house. It's old, but in a charming sort of way. It doesn't feel, you know, negative or anything when you walk in. It just feels like home. Always just home. So you can imagine my absolute shock when I was lying in bed alone this morning watching something watch me back. It was 4 a.m. this morning, and my husband had left our bed to go to the bathroom. Our room is decent sized, but from where the bed sits, you can see one of two windows in the room. The other one's covered by blinds and the TV. So it being 4 a.m. in summer, it was already a bit light to where you could see outlines and certain things. We don't have any pets, though. I laid in bed waiting for him to return so we could, you know, cuddle, when I blinked and suddenly saw movement in the dark. A dark mass in the shape of a head had moved over the top of the covers just enough to where I could make out the fact that it was moving. I froze because I thought it was my husband. Sometimes when he gets up, he will sit in the chair, put on the headphones, and play video games so as not to wake me when he can't go back to sleep. I thought maybe he had just gotten back in and I just didn't hear the door open. And that's why he was sitting in the dark looking at me. So I asked him, "Why are you sitting on the floor?" A few seconds of my heart pounding, no answer. And then I heard the doorknob click. And as soon as my husband walked in, it ducked down and disappeared. I screamed, obviously, because what the fuck? And I had him do a thorough search, but I didn't find any intruder. I still can't explain it, and I'm scared to go into my bedroom alone. After note, I've experienced a lot of stuff, especially as a kid. I've even been told I had an aunt that had passed away in another life that was trying to look out for me, but I have never, ever seen what I witnessed this morning. It did not make me feel safe at all.
And that one is very similar to what you saw as well, right? JDC, someone who, you know, like what do you call it, doppelganger, body double.
Yeah. This is actually similar to an experience I had when I was around 18. Happened here in Perth again. I'd gone to a mate's house together with this this gorgeous brunette. Oh my god, she's like 6 foot tall. I think she was a model as well. It was like she. Oh god. Anyway, we entered this. We went to this house, and I don't know. It was a long time ago, man. I was fucking 18. I'm like what? I'm
25 now.
Yeah, 25. Right?
7 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no discrimination with wives.
Yeah.
You know. Those wives.
And okay, the background story to this house that I was with her and my mate, right, was that someone had hung himself in that house, right? Oof. And in the living room that we were in, he had hung himself from one of the beams that was above that living room. And so me, hoping to scare the model and, you know, loving ghost stories, you know what, guys, let's just close the lights and see what fucking happens. And just talk to the thing that's here, right? Mm. So we switched on the lights, and I made sure that I positioned myself near her, because if she's going to be scared, I would have been able to comfort her in her time of distress and need. And that's what
it's why you bring girls to horror movies, right? Same thing.
Bro, I look after the people that I'm with, and I'm a caring kind of guy. Anyway, so we're down here, we're doing the shit that you did. You know, this is before like ghost hunters and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
I was like going, okay, you know, is there anyone here? Like, okay, what's happened? It's just, and everything got really still. So we turned off the lights. You could still see generally what was around you, but it was quite dark. Okay. So I saw her figure to my right, right? And as I was saying that, we just felt the energy of the room change, and I saw her move in front of me. You know when someone moves in front of you at night and it blocks light out? She did that, and I thought she was going to come and like onto me and like hit me accidentally because she was moving. I reached out and grabbed her just saying, hey, just stop, right? No, I didn't go to your hands like that. I didn't go to your hands.
That's how your hands went.
I reached out, right?
Yeah, like that. One hand.
My hand went through the fucking thing.
Oh.
And there was nothing in front of me. I just, everyone turned the lights on. My mate down there, who was next to the light, switched it on. She was still where she is. There was freaking nothing in front of me. Fuck. Now, is that, you can see that shadow. Like, I can still see it was movement. Like, it blocked out part of the front that I could actually see the light. I thought it was her. I didn't think it was a girl. I was like, she's going to accidentally come, you know, hit me or trip over the table. Mm. I reached out, trying to get her, saying, you know, Michelle, stop. Just click the light on. No one there. Nothing. She was still down there. I stopped straight away. It reminded me of your story.
You know, funny we talked about doppelgangers. I actually had something really similar to this too. I don't know if I spoke about it before. This was back, actually, funny enough, this was when I was living in Amokyo. And so I was like, this was in the middle of the day. I woke up from a nap, or so I thought I woke up from a nap.
Mm.
I walk out of my room. I see my sister and she just came home. I was like, oh shit. Okay. Hi. I went to go to the bathroom. I think I went back to my room, and in my head, I was like, wait, what the fuck just happened? Did that really happen? And then I think I went back to sleep, and I woke up and I asked my mom. I was like, yo, is my sister home? Is she back? She's like, no, she's not back yet. I was like, whoa, what the fuck was just happening? And this was, I could clearly see her opening the door, coming in. I was like, what the fuck is going on? But I think what got me from that story is, if I ever woke up in the middle of the night, and this is the reason why I don't have a fucking chair in my room, is because if I see something sitting there on a goddamn chair and I wake up, I'm going to flip shit.
Yeah. That's why you always put stuff on it, so you know nothing's sitting there.
Oh
yeah.
No, my room has no chair.
No chair. You went, fuck it. Let's just remove
the chair.
I mean, there's two things. It's either you see one on, like, now that my room doesn't have a chair. The second most scary part is I see it at the dresser at my foot of the bed. That's freaky too, man.
Oh yeah. Dressers. That's where the ghost would always sit there combing her hair.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh shit. No.
And you shouldn't, like, put, like, the superstition. A bike
on the dresser.
Oh, so what is it?
You can put a bike lock on the dresser. That solves that.
What a bike! What a bike lock!
A bike lock. It doesn't help if she's sitting on top of it, dude.
Oh, she's sitting on top of it. Oh, just get one of those, like, you know.
Dude, that'd be freaky as fuck. Like, yeah, like just the front of
one of those spikes for like pigeons, and it'll be fine.
Okay, Bill. If we ever go ghost hunting, I'm not bringing you along because your ideas suck. Like, it's like, okay, there's a freaking demon here, and Bill's like, just put fence stuff on top of the of the dresser, and just smear some jelly onto it. And then it goes to slip and fall. It's gonna be okay.
Bill's,
don't worry.
Bill's the kind like, oh no, there's a demon there. I'm just gonna close my eyes. I can't see it. I ain't scared. It's not there.
Just put some marbles on the floor. The demon will slip and fall. You know.
Yeah. Like Scooby Doo. It's fine.
Yeah. No. But dude, I can't imagine because at the front, at the foot of my bed, I have this dresser. It's just about waist height, and it's just like the same level as my bed. And I just thought about it just now. It freaked me the fuck out. But what if I woke up like tonight or like another day? And I see someone sitting at the end of it, fucking back facing me, combing my hair. Holy fucking shit.
Now that you talk
about it. Are
they
combing their hair or are they combing your hair?
Yeah, your hair.
If it's combing my hair, dude, that's freaky too. Be like, excuse me, what the fuck?
Excuse me, that is a service. That is a public service.
Like, ma'am, you need to pay to touch me.
Ma'am, you need to comb a little bit harder, especially around the, you know, around the
We should bring Bill for paranormal investigation and put him in the room.
We should,
you know, like the ghost will come up to him and he's like, the ghost will be touching him, like, you know, you could, like, this is a service, it's not a haunting, it's a service.
Yeah. Imagine going to someone's house, it's like, guys, I need some help here. You know, I'm having these paranormal events, like, you know, the dishes are moving in the sink, and Bill says, it's not a haunting.
It's a service.
It's a service.
Like, the ghost is doing you a favor, man.
Yeah. Go sit in the car, Bill. Just go sit.
I mean, no dirty dishes. What do you want? What more could you want?
It's a Bill. We've talked about this before.
ladies and gentlemen, there are a few ways to react when you see a hantu. You can obviously get scared. You can try to talk, you know, try to shout at it or try to, you know, try to scare it away, or you could go the Bill's way. Think of it as a service.
And that's why, okay, Bill always says this because Bill's a virgin when it comes to like paranormal stuff. Nothing really has happened to him yet, but one day we're gonna bring him for like a ghost hunt or something. I'm gonna wait for that day, Bill, and then we're gonna have a sit down and be like, oh yeah, no, it's not a service anymore. Actually, it's great. I kind of shit my pants.
Shit the pants would be Kim's territory. That's Kim.
Yeah, that's Kim's stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Lord.
Well, let us get to the next confession. I think then we might have time for one more where I'll share with you the JB story. That one take a little bit of time. So again, if we have time, I'll tell you. Otherwise, we'll bring on Know Your Hantu, and Thomas will be coming very shortly. I think he's waiting by the side right now. But for our next confession, this one is called The Shadow Man by Anonymous, narrated by Sally.
The Shadow Man by Anonymous. When I was younger, anywhere between the age of 6 or 7 years old, my family and I slept together in our master bedroom. My parents in the middle and my brother and I on either sides. This was also the period where I encountered the Shadow Man. Every night, I would wake up at an unknown time to this Shadow Man walking from one end of the room to the other. He wore a top hat and a trench coat. For everyone that knew Russell Lee, you'll know that what I'm talking about. He would do this repeatedly, and eventually, I would fall asleep. I was not scared, but rather confused. This encounter would eventually stop, and I've wondered why I wasn't seeing him anymore. I never brought this up to my parents or anyone until recently. When I told my parents about this, they brushed it off and said it could have been my eyes playing tricks on me. But what my brother said next shocked me. My brother saw the Shadow Man doing the exact same thing, which is walking across the room repeatedly. We have never had any other encounters ever since then.
Shadow Men are very interesting because I've actually wanted to talk about them on the fringe. But
go for it.
They're a bit more supernatural than cryptids. So some people think they're a bit of like the extra dimensional entity. But some people believe they're actually more demonic than anything else. Just because the sense that people feel when they encounter them is that there's something wrong. Like,
it's like the sense of dread.
Yeah. Not just dread, but there's something like existentially wrong. Like, this thing is not meant to be there. It's not meant to be like, it's not natural. That kind of thing. So I get the feeling that with ghosts, it's more of a sense of fear. But this thing is more sort of a sense of like, this is not meant to kind of like exist, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I think JDC kind of said something along the lines earlier that maybe shadow men aren't really like, you know, for example, like a spirit or a ghost, it was a human who sort of died and then it was just stuck there, right? But maybe for like shadow men, it's the same thing with angels. If you're interested in like bibliology and like, you know, the history of angels, what they believe is that there are entities in the world where they're not actually ever meant to be on Earth, or they're never meant to be in the human realm, but somehow they make their way down and they just have this whole other being or sense to them that there's just some superpower to them that you just can't really know what's going on. And I think that's probably how it is, you know. I think that's super creepy.
And I'm wondering if this is actually like a shadow person, like what we talked about in the first confession. And maybe it's not that. Maybe it's a ghost that was seen in the dark. Like, you know, if you see me in the dark, I may appear like a shadow, but I'm not necessarily a shadow ghost or shadow person. That basically what they saw was a ghost in the dark as opposed to a shadow person. But I did notice, and I was wondering where Eugene was going with this in the show, because he described it as the shadow man. The shadow man is, you know, I thought there was going to be like a Jamaican, you know, thing to it. You know, just like a few confessions back, the nightclub Bomba Shelter.
Yeah, dude.
I thought it was going to be the same thing, the shadow man.
I feel like every time I'm on the show, Eugene goes full Jamaican, man.
He goes.
Korean guy.
I'm the shadow man.
You're looking at the shadow man in the house. No, but, you know, I'm wondering again, like, so... Again, this is not something that I would necessarily believe in, but it's certainly reported quite a bit when things start following like a determined path. Like, you know, every night this entity is caught taking a shit in the toilet, coming out and walking into the kitchen to make a sandwich, right? And this is seen every single day. That is something like what we called, this is what we call a residual haunting.
Can you imagine that? You just one day you go, like, you open the bathroom door, you just see a ghost shit, and you're like, huh, what the fuck do I do now?
Yeah.
You just say, excuse me, you close the door, bro.
You like piss between his legs, or like, what if you're really urgent? Like, you're like, I'm sorry, I need to pee really bad. Yeah. You just pee through him. What do you do?
You pee but on this is him.
You can't maybe pee on him, because probably going to phase through.
Maybe this is something for On the Fringe, right? Because let's flip it. And, you know, maybe this would be the multiverse of SC, you know, kind of combining, right?
Yeah.
Perhaps you're not seeing a ghost, but perhaps he's seeing a ghost. So a few times down in the past, in the future, this guy's taking a dump and then the door opens and his ball guy comes in like this. Right? And he's like, whoa, right? And he slams the door.
And then the shit comes out faster, man.
Yeah. We see a ghost. And we open the door, it's like, holy crap, someone's taking a shit, and you shut the door. But it's just like sliding doors kind of thing.
So it's like in an alternate reality, there's like a supernatural confessions in that world where someone goes confess, like, you know, I was taking a shit, guys, and I, you know, suddenly the door just opened and a bald man come in and go, ooh.
Yeah,
and
he just
the door slams closed and I don't know what's going on. It must be
100%. And in the alternate universe, we're, instead of all guys here, it's actually all of us are actually females.
Yeah, and we all talk in a Jamaican accent. It must be the hand too. I be shitting in them toilet, the door open, and the man come in, and I screamed. It was a horrible Jamaican accent. So I apologize to anyone from Jamaica. Don't do any hoodoo on me. I was just like, making a joke. Just chill, guys.
Ghost echoes, I find, are really, really interesting because they they tend to be things that are quite traumatic. So the fact that this entity was kind of like just standing there and looking and not doing anything says a lot about like maybe like something happened there.
Like residual, like, I mean, if you look at a lot of ghost hunters and stuff, they always say areas where there are a lot of residual hauntings, where just things just keep happening. Nothing, the ghost doesn't really notice you, but it's always there. Yeah. Usually it's a place where something really traumatic happened. So even if you go to, I forgot, somewhere in Pennsylvania, Gettysburg, if you go to Gettysburg, dude, I mean, till this day, people say they see soldiers walking around, and that's a place where the ground was soaked in blood and thousands of people have died. So, you know, there's always that sense of energy that, I mean, I think we kind of spoke about this during our time travel episode, where maybe they're not dead per se, but because they're sort of trapped in this loop that we see them now, but they're living the life that they did at that point in time. And everything that goes on is just sort of this glitch in the matrix in a way that you just don't know what's going on.
The weird thing about like a lot of like some of the shadow man like theories, right? Like they can be kind of explained by like ghosts in the dark and, you know, maybe like, you know, some sort of like echo ghost kind of like doing their thing and not really feeling any harm because this person didn't feel that kind of like existential sense of dread that it comes with shadow man. Because there are lots of accounts where people have just like seen shadow man like at the corner of their eyes and they've instantly locked up and like just froze because it's the sense you get from
it's like deer in the headlights kind of thing.
Yeah, you're in the headlights thing, but for a human that is like very like that is a very rare instance where that happens.
I want to ask you guys this for the on the fringe folks, right? There's a lady from New Orleans who contacted me. I remember I mentioned this to you before, JDC. Remember this lady who called collect? She was not even on data call. She called collect and she talked about a shadow creature. She heard our podcast and she said, I didn't believe in or know about any of this because I grew up in a very staunch Christian family. But when I heard the shadow people and the description, and I realized that there's been this creature or entity in my entire life. And this shadow creature, the shadow man, he comes with a hat. It's almost like X-Files, the Smoking Man. He has a hat, like brim-shaped trench coat. And a lot of people, when they say they see the shadow man, they describe it as the same creature, same thing. So I'm thinking, right, I'm just shifting my brain gear from Hantu to On the Fringe. Could this be part of the alien conspiracy or the virtual world conspiracy? In this world, we are being observed by aliens and they come down sometimes to interact with us, and that's why they seem out of place because they're not part of reality, or it's just a glitch in the matrix.
I mean, you know, I've heard about this, especially because like what you said, she's from New Orleans, right? I have two things about this. One, let's go with the fringy one. I actually think that there are a lot of people who say that they see very similar people. I think I was reading this a couple of years back where people were seeing the same guy in their dreams almost every night. And that's super weird. Like this is like hundreds of people seeing the same guy. And a lot of people were saying that actually this guy was a dream traveler. And what that is, it's kind of, you can look at it in the sense of same thing as a time traveler or interdimensional traveler. But these things are real because there's no explanation on why you see the exact same guy, exact same face over hundreds of people when you've never seen this guy before. Right. Yep. And then on the other end, especially because it's New Orleans, that's a culture deep in voodoo and hoodoo, all sorts of stuff. And I think I've actually heard of this story before about this black magic guy who wears like a hat. And apparently a lot of people in New Orleans have sort of dealt with it or seen him. And I think it could be maybe someone who was just so deep in it that he kind of trapped himself in that world.
Is it Papa Shango? What's his name? It's Papa something.
Yeah, like I've heard of this too. And I think it's just maybe he's gotten so deep that, you know, you sort of trap yourself in that realm and you just can't go anywhere. You can't die. You can't really live, but that's become everything you are.
So you observe. Mm-hmm. You just go through time and you observe things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But maybe it's not a hat.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a hat.
Maybe it's a helmet.
Yeah, because my uncle has actually talked something very similar, right? So my uncle was born like in Pranakan kind of culture, right? With the veil. So he's able to see things from very young. This is my mom's brother. He's been able to see things. You know, he'll be the type where you're walking and he says, "Hey, don't jalan there, walk around." This is why he says, then later on he'll say, "Oh, when you walk there, there was someone sitting down there. Just walk around. Don't. That's how he sees stuff, right? Yeah, when he was in Perth. He reckoned in the shops opposite where I used to live with mom and dad, there were a whole bunch of entities, like a large amount of them just walking around aimlessly. And he said, and he sees these kind of entities, right? Especially the ones that are in shadow, they have a flared kind of head. Right. Okay. Huh? So they had in the head area, it almost looks like sometimes they have a collar or like, okay, you know, like in what's that show? Jurassic Park. Yeah. You have the dinosaur where it's a little dinosaur, but yeah, like that.
Yeah.
It's like that, where they have flares around them and they have different shapes to it. I'm wondering if what people are actually seeing are a group of entities that are perhaps like defined by what
the lizard like people.
Yeah.
Maybe lizard people, who knows? That's a fringy thing.
That's a fringy thing.
So my interesting thing is that there have been sightings of shadow people with like various other articles of clothing or are very identifiable features. Mm-hmm. There's been a shadow person that's been identified with a cane.
Yeah.
That like, you know, have like, you know, various different like, you know, types of shoes, even like where they're like, you know, identified as like, oh, okay, that is something special. And the key thing to understand is that, like, when a shadow person, like a shadow person is always described like as like a silhouette, a completely dark silhouette, and you can make out specific definitions of things. Mm. That tells me that it has an inherently like human-like quality that shouldn't be there. Like, it's trying to mimic people, and my on the fringe theory is that it is definitely not a human thing. It is something much more extra-dimensional that is simply trying to observe and see and move unseen.
Yeah,
but it goes back to the whole thing of like, you know, oh, like we are third-dimensional beings, and like, you know, where we see
fourth dimension stuff.
Yeah, the fourth dimension stuff where like we perceive them. It's not the full thing. It's not
We perceive them like how we can perceive another human, but it's not necessarily what they are. Like there's more to them. We just can't really.
Christ, they just flew all over my head. Yeah. That's very fringe stuff. Maitreya says Papa Legba. He's a gatekeeper.
Papa Legba is really
and wears a haircut. Okay. You guys know anything about that?
I mean, I've heard of him, and like I think that's what I kind of said with New Orleans. They're actually so many really famous voodoo practitioners.
I'm going to read out the wiki stuff. So it's not me sounding intelligent. It's all from Wikipedia. Papa Legba is a Iwa in Haitian voodoo who serves as the intermediary between the Iwa and humanity. He stands at a spiritual crossroads and gives or denies permission to speak with the spirit of the Guinea and is believed to speak all human languages. In Haiti, he is the great elocutioner. Legba facilitates communication, speech, and understanding. He is commonly associated with dogs, and Papa Legba is invoked at the beginning of every ceremony. Papa Legba has his origins in historic West African kingdom of Dahomey, located within present-day Benin. This is important. Appearance. He usually appears as an old man on a crutch or with a cane. Someone said a cane just now, right?
Yep.
Wearing a broad-brimmed straw hat and smoking a pipe and drinking a dark rum. So
there you go.
Yeah. Isn't Ewa the sacred tree from Avatar?
Maybe that's where Avatar got the thing from. Ewa, pronounced as Iwa, also known as spelled as Ioa, Ioa, are spirits in African religion. Yeah, so it's like a the tree of life thing. It's like a serpent. Speaking of Hantu and all this Haitian culture, up next we do have a Know Your Hantu, very interesting one, from Mexico. But before that, I think somebody wanted to say something, right?
I'm actually planning a trip next year. I don't know why. I mean, after we just came back from the U.S., my wife actually said that we wanted to go. We should go to New Orleans next year. So when I'm there, you know for sure I'm gonna go. Like, okay, I'm not gonna go do some black magic, right? But I think it'd be really interesting to go and study and like look at it.
I think, or you can. What is more in a pipe?
Yeah, you can go do black magic for the show purposes, for research. Yeah. You know, take on for the team.
No, dude, we have a guinea pig. It's Bill. He's been looking for a Bomo for like the longest time.
Yeah.
Somebody want a Bomo view to New Orleans, and then you guys cover it there. Then we do a live.
No, dude, we can get one here. It's different. It's cheaper. Somebody, okay, if one of you are watching now, if you can find a Bomo for Bill, please let us know we're looking.
Hashtag Bomo for Bill.
Bomo for Bill.
Bomo for Bill.
Yes, there we go.
And it's BOMOH for Bill.
Yes.
It can be FOI. I have to show Bill,
please.
Up next, we have Know Your Hantu. This is La Mano Peluda. La Mano Peluda. Okay. How do you say it in Spanish?
La Mano de Puda.
La Mano de Puda. Arriba, take it away, Elvin.
This week, Know Your Hantu, we're going to talk about La Mano Peluda of Mexico. Some stories might have mentioned this entity a little different from the one in Mexico. 1908, in Puebla, lives a man named Señor Vila, also known as Horta, who owns a pawn shop. Horta was a short, big-bellied and hairy man. On all accounts, he is a pretty terrible person. Rip off his customer, a show-off, and never once did a good deed. He is so terrible that every time someone walks in front of his shop, they will say, "Que Dios te seque la mano," translated to, "Please God, dry out his hand." Many years later, Horta died of old age, and God indeed dried out his hand. Why so? Because gravekeeper of a place where Horta was buried gave a story to local newspapers saying that he would see a black, hairy hand sticking out of Horta's grave looking for victims to grab them, choke them, and tear out their eyeballs eventually. Once the hand did that, they would return into the grave. After this story was published, many soon claims that they have seen Horta's hand appearing underneath their bed, moving through their fields, appearing in their home, and so on, looking for more victims. People would see black, hairy hand with very sharp nails, twice the normal size of an adult's hand, and it is just the hand. Wherever it goes, it will leave trails of blood and maggots that kept dropping off it too. Children are told that La Mano Peluda will come for them if they do not sleep early. Not only it will come from under your bed, it will also spring out of windows, behind the doors, and some tales even mention coming out from the wall.
That reminds me of The Thing from Adam's Family.
That's right. Anything with a hand is Adam's Family.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, we do have no time today. We do not have time today for me to tell you my JB story. But please remind me next week to... Oh, no, next week I'm going to India. I might not be able to come on the show.
Carlos Cole won't be happy at all. Carlos Cole will not be happy.
You don't like the two-part thing, bro.
Yeah. Sorry, Carlos. But I'm going to India on Thursday. I land on Friday. I would try to come online if I can, but just in case I can't, because I'm going to be in northern part of India, and the reason I'm there is for Supernatural Confessions. Nice. I am, you know, I love traveling. You know, I love dark tourism, and I was invited to come down to India for 8 days tour to see the occult practices in northern part of India. Oof. So I'm going to do my recording, my video, and hopefully, if everything is great, we can actually run a tour. So you guys can see the stuff that you don't get to see on Chan Brothers Travel.
Yeah.
No, No shooting Chan brothers though.
yeah. Okay. Elvin, is Thomas on the line? Are we gonna bring him on? Okay, Thomas, you are right now on air with Supernatural Confessions. With me is Bill, Matt, and JDC. We are hearing you loud and clear live, and so is the audience on YouTube and Facebook on Supernatural Confessions. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Just a bit of we've been drinking all night.
Yeah. So, Thomas, I'm looking at you guys.
Congrats on your very successful confession. I think a lot of people love you. I see from the comment section, you know, that they want to go see you. So you also run a amulet wrapping business, right? You want to just give us a brief overview of what that is about?
Okay. Actually, it's basically like when devotees, they go to temples or they go to any dealers who deals with amulet, usually the amulets there's no casing to it, so it's like just from a metal pendant or a powder made pendant. So in order to wear it as a necklace in a pendant, what I do is I do the plastic casing to encase it so that the devotees can wear it.
Okay, so that's what you do. So if anybody wants to get your amulet wrap, Thomas Cheng is the guy to go for. Also, Thomas Cheng is the guy who talked about the ghost marriage. And before we start to ask him questions about ghost marriage, Elvin, would you mind playing the clip about this man who found an ang pao full of money, please? So Thomas, you probably have seen this post about a man who found an ang pao full of money inside. Just left by the corner. What is your first thought?
First thought, I need to congrats him.
My man.
That'd be mine too.
Like how we congratulated JDC today for his second wife.
And Bill's first.
Alvin, thank you very much for this. Yeah, we can remove that thing. So tell us a bit more about this. What I mean, for people who wonder why fight ampa on the floor is such a bad thing, you want to tell us a bit more about it?
Okay, there is three concepts to finding an ampa, which is can be good, which is the ghost marriage. I mean, yeah, there's pros and cons there. There is two other option or point of view where it would be bad. There's no pro, there's just con. Mm-hmm. Yeah, first, the ghost marriage, as I've explained on my confession, it will help you in, you know, in a way or two, in a, you know, how to call it? Like in a visible hand will help you to push regarding what you do, your business, everything.
Yeah, like if you have a ghost bride, your business, your life is soon. That's what you told me, right? Business, good, everything is sweet.
Like what the Hokkien will call calling of wealth, like the zhao cai type. But the other two point of view is, one, there is such a practice of if a person who used to dab with occult, like the Yunnan side, there's they call the Yunnan voodoo, which in China, I'm not sure about the English, but in Chinese they call the gu. The gu is like a type of jing chan chong. It's a silkworm, but they call it golden silkworm. It's like a hex or a voodoo, call it that. So when they will usually pass down to the youngest daughter, the tradition will be passed down to the youngest daughter. So in order, if let's say you are sick and tired of it and you don't know how to handle it, what they do is they marry it off.
Okay.
So they marry it off in such that there will be a sort of a carcass thing. So they wrap it up, they put inside the ang bao of the insect, then they'll put inside the ang bao, they'll put a stack of cash inside. They call marrying off the jing chan. Whoever picks it up, right, they will have the downdrain will be the money, the cash inside, the thick stack of cash inside the account. The person who picks it up will so-called marry it, then you'll follow the new owner.
And this is not a rude or silly question. Where does consent come in all of this? Can someone say I don't consent?
No, cannot. Okay, if you do not consent to it, if you wish to get rid of it, the alternative way, best way is to seek a Taoist master. Then he or she will do a ritual and then do let it go somewhere and then wait for the next victim. There's no way to kill it. Want to kill it, can I? But that means you have to, you know, get the wrath. You'll be on the receiving end of the wrath.
So in the situation this happens to you, how, let's say you didn't know, how do you know that this actually happened to you? Or like now you're married to a ghost bride and you don't know?
Are there signs?
Asking on behalf of Bill and JDC.
I'm actually asking for them because they have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. If you happen like that case, that guy don't know whether he really marry a ghost bride or whatever thing he picked up because of the stack of cash. First thing you have to see whether there is any photo behind as a written date of birth.
Okay.
If there is, okay. If there is a photo, high chances are, I would say 99.9% that yes, it's a ghost.
Wow, 99.9%.
Dang, you guys have wives.
So because ghost brides are seen as quite a positive thing. Do people are there people that actively seek them out? Is there a matchmaker?
In Singapore, I have not heard of it, but in Taiwan, there is actually one guy who I cannot remember exactly what's the number of ghost wives that he married. I think around six plus. He actively went around to search for ang bao to pick it up and see whether it got cash.
I don't want to sound like dumb, right? But do ghost brides get jealous? Because I mean, if I were to marry six people, like human people, I don't think that would fly with anybody.
Of course, they will get jealous in one point of time. But you have to, you know. But depending on if ghost bride versus ghost bride, of course there will be jealousy.
Right.
And whoever got the most beef, you know, be the biggest lauta, you know. If let's say a ghost wife versus a human wife, then you know, the ghost wife will automatically beat that.
Automatically win, is it?
No, automatically you know, they give leeway, you know, only at night, you know.
What's the downside of a ghost bride? Because it seems like all upsides to me.
my question actually is coming on the back of what you were saying, Bill. You talk about what are the upsides of it? Is the upsides of it or the downside of it having to have sex with your ghost wife? Does the ghost wife want your yang qi because they have yin qi?
No, really. Actually, no. The ghost wife will not, as I mentioned in my confession, the ghost wife will not actually drain you of your positive energy.
Mm-hmm,
But of course, they will be, you know, if you get too much, you know, too much of ghost wife also no good for you, because they are actually negative energy. But if you want only one ghost wife, it won't drain you,
Same thing, I mean, if you got one wife, you're kind of half dead. You got six wives, you're fucked, That's the same theory.
Bro, two wives already, fucked,
Two wives, Okay, I got a question for you, Thomas, on behalf of a lot of people who actually post this question. I know the answer, but I just want to hear it from you. People have said, you put the ampau there, but you're a female ghost. What if a woman find it? How then? Lesbian, Or, you know, if you're...
Or the other way.
Yeah, so what's your answer to that? You told me once that the ampau that is there will only be visible to the ones that the ghost bride pick. So if it's a female ghost looking for a husband and you are a woman, you walk past, you won't find the ang pao, right?
No, you will not find. There's no such cases where the ang pao is supposed to be meant for a male, the female can pick it up. No.
So ladies, don't worry. There's not going to be any LGBTQ ghost marriage for you because the ghost will cover your eyes.
And coming back to Bill's question, what are the cons for it?
Okay, what are the cons? Okay, the cons actually is you must give offering every year. That means every day you must just, you know, pray joystick to them. Every year you need to burn offerings for them. Mm. And then you must educate your offerings, your descendants, that this is your elder mother. Then you must pray to her also every, like, you know, like once yearly Qingming. That where you pray
it's only once a year, right? Yesterday. So it's not a bad one.
Yeah, once a year.
So you forget someone from a different culture. Like say, like an Ang Mo go and steps on the red packet and picks it up, or someone from Africa does it and they don't necessarily ascribe to Taoist, you know, ways of spirituality. I mean, like how do they go about it then?
How do they even know?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
If so happen that, you know, the ghosts have a liking to African guys, you know, Ang Mo guys, then too bad for them. They'll be like sticking to the guys wherever they go.
Shit.
Sarung party ghost.
SPG. I like that. Well done.
I mean, as much as this is like a pretty lighthearted topic, like it does put you off from like if I ever see like marriage. A red packet on the JDC, be careful there. But if, you know, if I see like a red packet on the floor, whether it's during Chinese New Year or whatever, that's kind of like, even if you were trying to do the right thing, right? Let's say you wanted to pick it up and like bring it to the police or whatever. Does that kind of already include you into this like sort of contract?
If you want to pick it up to the police, the question is, would you be able to see it first? If you're able to see it and you're able to pick it up, then chances are you pass it to police also no use.
But what if you don't pick it up? You see it, but you don't pick it up. You just walk by.
Then okay. Then you're safe.
But how many of you see Ampa won't pick up one?
That's what I mean. That's what freaks me out. That's what freaks me out. Because if I
was going to find out if we do have a ghost bride,
do you want to know if you have a ghost bride or you want a ghost wife, Bill? Which one do you want?
Bill wants to know both. Simple,
depending on the results of the first.
I mean, I think, yeah, it's honestly terrifying. Like, if you just find it on the street. And
how is it terrifying?
Dude, I mean, I don't want to get a ghost wife. What are you talking about? Like,
it's not a ghost wife. It's a service.
It's a service. Oh, my God. Yeah. Look, you only got to give her offering once a year. Once a year, that's it.
But right? Every day, so, you need to give joystick. Every day, you need to give joystick.
Sure, give joystick every day. Give offering once a year.
But only a few dollars.
You know, can have sex 7 nights a week. What else? I mean,
virtual. I will say virtual. I will not say actual. Virtual, I will say
sex,
virtual.
Yeah, you get good business, good health. Everything is great.
Yeah. Bill, we gotta put you in contact with Thomas, man. You gotta go see him. Yeah. Go shake his hand. Get find a go on Ghost Wife Tinder or whatever that.
Ghost Wife Tinder.
I'm telling you, because you're so interested on it, Bill. You're gonna come up from your house. There's gonna be like 20 red packets all on the floor, and you gotta swipe right or left. Which one you want? Like,
yeah.
Like, let's add
one. I'll pick up the most well decorated red packet.
Okay, so we're finding Bill a ghost wife.
So it's Bomo for Bill and ghost wife for Bill now.
That's right. I love it.
You know, Bill comes on the show one time and he gets all these hashtags and all this stuff thrown at him.
I'm very willing to, like, you know, like, hey, this is an advantage. Okay, this is a service. This is, like, you know, something to get ahead.
It's a service.
Okay, wait. So I think we didn't ask Thomas this question. Yeah. So, but what happens if, let's say, like, if you don't offer that joystick every day, or you don't, like, once a year, you don't burn, like, you know, paper money, all this kind of stuff? What actually happens?
Oh.
I don't like that sound.
I don't like it either.
Okay. I will put it in from 1 to 10. So the rating from the lightest to the heaviest. Lightest is you will feel sickish. You start to feel a bit sickish. Okay, then slowly, progressively, you start to get unlucky. Your business start to go down. Then further proceed up and up and up until you it will disturb you, not let you sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was asking for a friend, you know, like. Bill might be
for. Are you sure you're asking for a friend?
Yeah. Asking for Bill.
No. Yeah. I'm asking for Bill, man.
He can't sleep because he's painting too many freaking miniatures.
So that's the thing, right? Like, you know, how do you know if you have a ghost wife or not? Is there a place you can go to find that out? Number one.
Towers,
well, so far I know that I know of still practice it. The areas are in Malaysia will be the Chinese community. In China, there's certain part of the province that's still practicing it. I don't really know where, but in Taiwan, it's quite common. Taiwan is the most common.
So I need to go to Taiwan, you know, to find out if I have a ghost wife or not.
Yeah, precisely. You can go Taiwan there to hunt for angpao if you want to see whether you are a hot cakes for them.
Bill, go and sit in the car, Bill. Bill, go and sit in the car right now. Bill, I don't like the look in your face.
Excuse me. Get in the car. It's two birds with one stone, okay?
Get in the car, lock the door. Do not let anyone in, Bill.
Oh, Lord.
Thomas, do you have any... we have very short time left for you online, like almost just 2 minutes more. Do you want to have like a quick update on any ghost stories that you have for us? Any cool things that you want to share since the last time I interviewed you?
Yeah, there's one that I think maybe missed out. There was that since you guys just now I was hearing you guys saying about Shadow Man. That reminds me that there is this incident where in the Bangkok hotel, I think the hotel has changed name, so I think I can say it out. It's called NASA Vegas in Bangkok. So what happened is that there is one trip I went there looking for my friend. The first
Thomas, can you off your fan? There's a fan behind you. Can you turn it off?
Okay. Wait, give me 1 minute. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So what happened is that first night I check in the hotel. Okay, there's a aircon leakage, so call the service and then change the room. So what happened is that the bellboy go to the new room. He never knocked the door. So the first thing came to my mind is, oh shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I just like, okay, fuck it. Just go in. Once the moment I go in, everything settled down, everything. That night, in the middle of the night, I don't know what time, I was sleeping. But the more I sleep, the more frustration I get. It's like somebody is looking at you, this kind of feeling. Keep looking at you until like, very irritated to the extent like you wish to wall up the guy. So I'm not sure whether did I really wake up or not, but my memory serves me right is I opened my eyes, I looked up because on top of me there's an aircon. The aircon is there. So I looked up and then I saw a shadow just in front of the aircon floating, dark shadow. So the anger overtook me, so I screaming out without any vulgarities, of course. I just screaming out in Hokkien and I just said, I never disturb you. You don't come and disturb me. Get out. And then very loud.
You say it in Hokkien, I think it sounds cool if you say it in Hokkien.
Sure, okay. You
see, with this Hokkien, you don't need to swear. It already sounds like you're swearing at him anyway.
Cooler, right? It's like when Hokkien sounds cooler. Sorry, Thomas,
okay. So after that I just like fall back down to sleep, and then for like maybe 5 seconds later I like suddenly it occurs to me that did I wake up, because when you shout there's a vibration on your throat, you can feel it. So for my feeling is that I felt vibration on my throat, but then I wake up, I see surrounding like nothing. like normal night. Mm. Then I was just like, oh, okay, fuck it, let's go sleep. I go back to sleep again. Then the next day, I went to find my friend who is the translator for like Achan. Okay. Yeah. He also got is one of the practitioner lah. So I told him this incident. Then he say, actually the ghost is trying to make friend with you. Lah. I say, for what? I asked him back, for what? No. Chinese no make friend with ghosts. No.
Maybe it's a ghost girl trying to get to know you.
No way. Somehow he asked me to go and buy those garland flowers, go and put in the hotel room. I said,
no way. Ghost, hua for the ghost. The
ghost girl, come to you?
No.
Ghost come to you. Ghost come to you. Oh, boy. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We hope to have you back once again.
Okay,
don't be a stranger. You know, Thomas has been with us for a very long time.
Thank you, Thomas.
Yeah,
we'll be in contact for Bill. Okay. I mean, we'll reach
asking
out
for a friend. Yeah, thanks, Thomas.
Asking for a friend. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, buddy.
Okay. Okay. Bye. Good night.
Good night. Bye bye.
Well, that is Thomas Cheng, Amulet rapper and all-round funny guy. You have seen him live today. And how he sounds on Confession, how he sounds today is pretty much the same. How are you guys feeling? With Bill and Matt and, you know, me and Joe. It's like on the fringe Friday Night Live. It's multiverse crossover.
The multiverse.
Yeah. Like what someone said. Friend.
Ask him for a friend.
Ask
him SC multiverse.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I mean, I always enjoy being on this show.
We want to have some. We want to make some announcement. Since you guys are here, please do set your calendar free for the second last Friday of October, and the last Friday of October. If you guys would love to spend a little bit of money and travel to Sarawak, Kuching, Kim's homeland. We will be running our annual finale because, you know, Supernatural Confessions, our finale is October, the last week of October. We're going to have that live in Sarawak, Kuching. Tickets are on sale. We have 20 spots for Singaporeans to fly over. Hotels, everything is fully settled for you guys. You go along for a cultural trip to see the mysticism side of Kuching, a haunted walk, SC live show, all the good stuff, meet the fans there. If you cannot travel over to Kuching and you want to meet all of us on the week before that, I believe that's 21st, right, GDC?
It will be the 21st, the Friday.
21st of October. All your Friday Night Live hosts will be here together under one roof. Myself, Kim, Sonia, JDC, Matt, Bill, Jonathan Lim, all in one place. Meet and greet. We'll love to see you guys. That's on the 21st Friday. And on the following week, 28th, we will be in Sarawak. 20 spots tickets will be on sale very soon. That's that part of the promo. It's supposed to be out today. I haven't done a poster yet, so my bad. The other one is the walk with Hantu Changi has been such a success and a hit. People have been asking for it. We have two more dates out. This will be on the 24th and the 29th of September. That's a Saturday and a Thursday. So if you missed the first round of Walk with Hantu Changi, it's your time to join us again right now. We have two more slots open for you guys.
Yeah.
And also, I've got news from Ellen, our moderator for SC Discord channel, that, hey, bro. Hey, can you please tell people about our Discord channel? It's been a bit slow. And I apologize because we do have a Discord channel, but not many of you know. So I already pinned the URL here. The funny thing about this Discord URL is it keeps disappearing. And I realized that I need to click on it to have it permanent. So this is the permanent Discord channel URL. Go check it out. That's where the community meet and it's community run by community. Alan moderates it. But it's very much you guys go in, shoot the breeze and just get to know each other. Supernatural Confessions is a community first kind of place. We always take your feelings, your thoughts, and your everything about community first before myself or before the brand. So if you have ghost story to share, supernaturalconfessions.com is the place to be. Tonight has been wonderful, you know.
And just very quickly before we move on, sorry, Eugene. Yeah. Hanjay has asked where to meet on 21st. We will be providing locations and more information about that closer to the day.
We are trying to find Singapore. A place. Yeah, we'll be in Singapore. We're trying to find a place because we want to bring our band Silver Starts, the one who you can hear the to perform live for us. So we're finding a place that can have live music, lots of alcohol, and space for you guys to hang out.
Yeah.
Wait, we have the Changi Walk, right? It's on the 24th of September, you said?
Yeah, 24th and 29th. Can you make it? Do you want to come?
Let's see, Bill. Let's do it on the
Fringe. I want to come because I've got a few friends that might be also interested in coming as well.
Let's go, Bill. Let's do it.
We have let's go find some ang pao.
Along the way.
I'll be snatching all the ang paos. I'll be like, hey, don't touch. Take picture.
Don't touch, it's mine. It's mine.
I have all dibs on it. This one picture. Then I compare with the others.
And then when it comes to October, when there's the real meet and greet, Bill's fucking dead. Like, he's just dying. He's like a skeleton of a man.
Yeah. Bill comes in like this. It's all like pale. Hey, guys. Bro, I haven't slept for 4 weeks.
All they want is just sex.
Too many wives. Too many wives. Too many wives.
Yeah.
And it comes in the Ferrari.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, watch The Rest of Us, Jonathan Lim and myself, Tuesday night, Ghost Mortem. Watch Bill and Matt on The Fringe every Wednesday. Give them some love. Kim, Sonia, JDC will be back very shortly again on Friday Night Live. The whole team, we're looking forward to October. Really, that's our finale. And last year finale was interesting. Let's not have that again. Yeah. Anyway, any last words before we say goodbye?
I probably want to say, like, you still have time to buy us a coffee. So go to buymeacoffee.com/SE Friday Live and show your appreciation and support by buying the host a coffee. Thank you, guys.
Mm. Anyone bought us a coffee today that you want to shout out for?
Yep, we do. We have Charles Ho. Thank you so much. That is a very nice, hot, steaming cup of tasty mixed with coffee. Sea coffee.
Yin-yang.
Yin yang. I like that.
Yes.
I really enjoyed tonight, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thanks to, you know, Matt and Bill for kind of stepping up as well. And Eugene, as always. My name is Joe. And I feel like tonight there have not been a lot of questions, more answers. But for me, there's always more questions than there are answers. So thank you guys for spending time with us.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having us. It's been a blast. And I feel like there is... there's more questions than answers. I still want to know more.
Wait, what?
He almost forgot his line. Well done. Okay, again, thank you guys for having me on the show again. It's great to see that you guys from On the Fringe and Friday Night welcome us. It's really nice to see. If you do want to see more of us, you can catch us on Wednesdays on the Fringe and maybe occasionally on Fridays. If we need manpower, dude, we're here. If you want to see more of that, also let us know. I saw some people saying, what is it? Fringe Confessions. That's nice. All right. Ooh. But until next time, our Supernatural Fringe. There you go. But until next time, guys, stay on the fringes.
Nice. I want to thank Alvin De Cruz for operating the stream behind the scenes. We have Dana, we have Lynn, we have Kara and Ivan, who is moderating for us. So good job, everybody. Thank you so much. All the silent voices behind the scenes deserve the respect and adulation as well, right? Yes. And my name is Eugene Tay, and like telling you guys that no matter how you feel and what you feel, especially when it comes to the supernatural and you doubt yourself, know that you are not alone. Thank you for watching Supernatural Confessions Friday Night Live. And right now we have Bray Bray confessing on Supernatural Confessions YouTube channel. Go straight there and check him out. All right, good night, everybody.
What did you find? Burning. You're listening to Supernatural Confessions.